unboxing
Oh, hang
videos.
on, got to do some ASMR in there too, so we can get
I
the
think
shh.
I got audio, voice on, like noise cancellation on this. There we go. This is a nice 360. It's like 100,000 yen. So this is for the virtual house tour. You put it in the middle of the room and you take the photo, and it takes a full 360 camera, 360 view. So when you see a listing online, you can enter the room and virtually walk through the room and pan around and see
Okay.
everything, all 360 in the room. Look up, look down, see all the corners.
Folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over 2 decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so today's episode is a recent JREP session in which we officially announced the Japan Real Estate Summit's autumn 2026 session coming up in just over a month in Tokyo and online via the streaming room. As you've probably heard here on the podcast, if you're a regular listener, we discussed the speakers roster, which, by the way, has been expanded since we recorded this conversation. We've now also got, aside from everyone else you'll hear mentioned here, the fantastic Hiroto Senda, Tokyo-based immigration lawyer, who'll be talking about the current visa situation with a focus on the new business manager visa criteria and, more importantly, explain how you can get around these stricter requirements, which many people unfortunately no longer meet. Well, there is a solution, and he'll explain it in his presentation, as well as, of course, join our experts Q&A panel to answer your questions about it. So even if you can't make it in person and will be tuning in via the streaming channel, you will be able to ask him and, of course, all of our other panel speakers any question you may have, either at the end of their presentation or during the bigger Q&A panels, and have it answered live on the stage for you. Also, and this one is only for the in-person participants, if you want to go even deeper, we want you to bring in your own scenarios and case studies for analysis in the private breakout rooms. So those are smaller sessions in a private quiet room off the main stage that's not being recorded, not being streamed normally. Although sometimes if the speaker is particularly popular, they can be even bigger than the main room sessions. And in these rooms, you can ask any of our experts to analyze and provide you with a free consultation on your individual case. So don't miss out on this opportunity. If you're attending in person, do bring in your case studies, your property listings, or strategies that you're considering, and anything else that you want to get knowledgeable advice on. That's what our experts are there for. So before we get into this JREP conversation, here's the list of topics that we'll be covering in this summit. I know you've been waiting to hear about them. Emil is going to break down and explore the new 50-year term home loans that are now available in Japan. And in his breakout room, he's going to cover the property selection process for families that are looking for their forever home. What should you be thinking about, and how should you be evaluating listings when you're choosing a new home for your family? Brett and Emily from Akia Hub are going to be discussing the subtle and not so subtle differences between Japanese and Western mentalities, and how this clash of cultures, if you will, pans out in the real world when people are here actively buying a property. And in the breakout room, they'll be discussing a concept that they call Step Zero,
mainly what should you be thinking about even before you start looking at listings, and how to make sure that you have your goals and priorities clearly defined and lined up far before you kick off your search. Blanca Kobayashi from Arc Reform is going to be discussing the unique challenges when renovating older homes in Japan, and there are plenty of those. And in her breakout room, she'll be reviewing and demonstrating hands-on renovation materials that are available and how to decide which of these materials would work best in each case. Alicia from Axolotl Capital and Ninka.ai is going to be discussing why it's a good idea to put your multi-unit investment property under a corporate structure as opposed to under your individual name. Spoiler alert, it might not be for the reasons you think. And in her breakout room, she'll be discussing and explaining the investment loans that are available for these types of properties for residents and non-residents alike. Chai and Ben from Shiki Properties will talk about the tourist and luxury hospitality market in Kyoto, Kansai, and Nagano, which is a new and very popular area that they now operate in, including some boutique hotel case studies that they'll break down for you as an example. And in their breakout room, Yi Zhang from Shiki will be discussing how to leverage financing and loans to increase the profitability of this particular asset class. I'll be narrowing down on exit strategies this time around, how to purchase your asset, whether it's for personal use, investment purposes, or a mix of both, with the resale in mind. Whether that's a strategy or an exit that's been forced on you for whatever reason. And in my breakout room, I'll be showcasing the new and improved Deal Analysis Studio, the AI system that we've released at the last summit and has now been improved even further to also allow for the analysis of properties that are currently vacant by comparing and analyzing their rentability and potential profitability. So exciting new features to showcase for you there. Tracy from Tokyo Family Homes and Tracy Northcott Consulting will be discussing AI and other tech tools that can supercharge your hospitality business and how to use, but also how not to use them. And in her breakout room, she'll showcase what she calls the 30-minute AI makeover for an existing short-term stay listing to really show you how it can be done. Sana Bandari from Simple Host will further expand on that point and discuss the financials involved in incorporating AI tools into your hospitality business and how to measure those. And in their breakout room, Simple Host co-founders Dave Singh and Max Del Vida will demonstrate their proprietary tool for hosts, Go Minpaku, which is a phenomenal software suite that helps you automate your hospitality business. We'll also have Wyatt Beck from Yen Loans, who'll explain how anyone, again, resident or non-resident, can receive financing for their condo purchases in most of Japan's major cities for any use, holiday home, family home, investment, hospitality property, as well as draw on your equity from any such properties that have already been paid for, which is where things get really interesting because you can then use those funds for literally anything. So really a low interest personal or business loan for any purpose if you've already got a property that you own here, and he'll explain exactly how to do that. He'll further break down some case studies and advise on participants' personal borrowing scenarios for anyone interested in the private room. That's, again, completely offline, not being streamed, not being recorded. And finally, to round it all up, a very sought-after presentation topic, as mentioned, Hiroto Senda, immigration and incorporation lawyer, explaining the current visa landscape for investors and business owners, changes to the business manager visa, potential changes to the permanent residency criteria as well, and most importantly, what you can do about it today if you don't qualify for the new business manager visa criteria, which realistically most of us do not. There is a workaround, and he's going to lay it out there for you. So yes, those are the topics that are going to be covered in this up-and-coming session of the Japan Real Estate Summit, which we're going to officially announce and discuss in this episode that you're just about to listen to, as well as explain the new ticket tier for Japanese property professionals. We also segue a bit about how AI and other advanced technologies are reshaping the market here, including a fun unboxing video of one of Emil's new toys, a 360 camera for virtual walkthroughs or property listing, very fancy stuff. We discussed the state of Tokyo's hospitality market, as well as the current landscape for home loans and interest rates. We talk various home loan borrowing scenarios and the gaijin factor. Is it a real thing? Is it not? And analyze individual borrowing scenarios for employees versus business owners, permanent residents versus other visas, company owners versus sole proprietors, and how do lenders evaluate these various individual income streams. And finally, we talk a bit about the two seemingly contradictory strategies of lowering your personal and business-related taxes on the one hand, as opposed to increasing your borrowing capacity on the other hand, and how to find the sweet spot that suits you and your goals. So real information-packed conversation with the JREP crew. Hope you'll enjoy it. And if you still haven't, go grab your tickets for the summit and your hotel and flight tickets if you need those. The summit tickets are only discounted until the end of September, and hotel rooms and flights are filling up and becoming more expensive too. We're only about a month and a half away. So pause this recording now, go sort out your tickets if you need to, and otherwise enjoy the chat, and I'll see you again on the other side.
All right, Japan Real Estate Experts panel, back in session minus Matt with an announcement. Dugadoosh, dugadoosh, drum roll.
Yep.
What's the announcement, folks? What's happening?
The Japan Real Estate Summit.
Awesome. October 17 and 18.
And it's at the Tokyo International Forum.
We didn't rehearse that at all, but it worked out pretty well.
We know our place.
What a team.
Yeah. And we've got a lot of your favorite speakers coming back. So everyone you see on the screen here, obviously. Hopefully we don't need an introduction. We can do that later. We also have Akia Hub. We also have Axolotl Capital, Alicia Kim Wang. We have Yen Loans. We have, who else do we have?
We have Simple Host coming up from Singapore, yes, to do a massive launch. So all these all the people who are interested in Minpaku, there's some really, really juicy AI Minpaku tools coming on board. So yeah, don't miss that keynote.
And Shiki Properties are at Kyoto and now Nagano Hospitality, luxury hospitality experts, I should say. And yeah, and us. So quick round of introductions, just to anyone who's been living under a rock, go this way, that way, whatever.
You go first, Ziv.
Okay. Ziv here, host of the Japan Real Estate Podcast, Nippon Trading International. And for the last 15 years, we've been the catch-all for anything to do with Japan real estate, whether it's purchase, sale, or management. We can do it ourselves. We'll refer you to one of these lovely people or some of the other experts that we've got in our network. And you can start with us, and then we'll see which one of these folks you'll end up with.
Cool. And then I'm Emil. So realestate.jp, if you want to buy a house in Tokyo, either get financing or cash, but family homes in Tokyo, that's what I do. Tracy, over to you.
So yeah, my name is Tracy. I run Tokyo Family Stays, which is exactly what it sounds like it is. It's vacation rentals or short to medium term rentals in Tokyo, specifically for families. So we're completely family friendly, but also I tend to speak a lot about licensing and compliance in Japan because it's such a big issue. And also I'm a beast when it comes to maximizing your profits for if you have a short-term rental in Japan or outside of Japan. So.
And I'm Blanca Kobayashi. I'm the owner of Arc Reform. We are multilingual renovation company. We edit Spanish support for our clients that don't speak English Japanese. Yes,
Spanish.
So we now have a Spanish support as well. So we are multilingual, and we can help you with all your renovations. We can also tell you which house not to buy before you even buy it.
You're going to be talking about this time, right?
due diligence.
Do your due diligence. If
absolutely.
You can't do your due diligence, hire me to do it for you. So we are here for all your renovations, needs, and all the property inspections before buying. So that's what we are here for.
I tell my clients, I think when we go out to do viewings, more often than not, why they shouldn't buy this house.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like that. No.
Oh, dude, this is 90% of my Zoom calls. Yep. No, don't do that. Just don't
exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, yeah. Like that's what my whole talk about on the last summit was all about, was like, don't get emotionally invested in a property.
Yeah.
Until you figured out A, if you can do it, or B, how much you're going to make from it. So,
I feel like I'm ending a lot of calls these days with them. So we can consult on the purchase. We can do the purchase on your behalf. But honestly, if that's the line you're pursuing, I don't think you'll need us, because all I'm going to be saying is no. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And the summit is now in its eighth iteration. It's been 4 years, and it's been growing speakers-wise, sponsors-wise, attendees-wise. We've been
venue-wise
bouncing venue between a few locations, but I think all of the locations were awesome, weren't they?
Yeah, I love the Tokyo International Forum. I think it's really great. And we have extra rooms this year, so we're gonna have more rooms.
Grow with us, right?
Yes, the forum grows with us. So we're gonna have more room to discuss, more rooms for the breakout sessions and everything. So it's gonna be once again perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last time we did at the forum, which was two events ago.
Yeah.
The breakout room was kind of in the way of
the meeting room, yeah.
But now we've got two separate breakout rooms. Breakout room, I'm going to do the podcast and interview room to interview all the speakers. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Doing that space.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, but to anyone who attended last time, that big middle area, which was a bit chaotic, is going to be basically the networking and hangout area for everyone. So we've been able to expand the size of the rooms that we've got in this block. So it's going to be really, really good. And lots of sponsor booths and tables will also be in that area.
I'm wondering how many people are going to be flying in this time. Like, usually we get a couple of folks who fly in, and
they've been asking about it,
you can come straight in from the airport because there's plenty of space. Like, with your luggage, you can just leave it, like, you know, come straight in from the airport, leave your luggage in the cloakroom there, so you don't go and check in or anything beforehand, just come straight. Yeah.
And it's close to the Tokyo station as well. I mean, the location is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and then it's close to our after party. Drinkies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a gala dinner. So that's a
dinner. Venue to be announced, right?
Yeah. So it's an additional fee, but it's well worth it because, you know, during the day, there's just so much learning and so much, you know, on with lots of different topics, that it's really good afterwards, like, to just go and digest some of this stuff and meet some of the speakers and sort of just hang out and, you know, you can buy me a free beer.
We're going to have. So the gala dinner is on Saturday night, the first night of the event, and that's a nice big formal dinner. And costs, like, the venue, we're still finding a venue that can host us nicely, that's going to be nice and spacious. I think that's 10,000 yen for the early bird and 12,000 yen for regular, once early bird is finished. And then there's going to be an after party at a nearby izakaya on the Sunday night, which is a bit less formal. I sometimes attend, sometimes don't attend. I think all of us have different other commitments on the Sunday and we're exhausted.
Yes.
But that's sort of, we figure that out more on the day. But the gala dinner is the more formal one on Saturday night. Tickets are usually limited for that as well. And they have been, we've had maybe about 60 people, I think, every time end up coming to the gala dinner. So it's quite a lot of attendees and a lot of people last minute on the day. Saturday of the event, they're like, can we still get tickets for the gala? We need to try to contact the restaurant, squeeze it in, but because it's a set
sometimes
course,
possible, sometimes not possible, depending if it's a seated venue or not.
I
think we get about 100 to 120 people all up in the rooms during the event itself, and then about half of them end up at the gala dinner, and somehow about half of them end up at the after party, which is really squeezed but a lot of fun. I feel like I'm at a music concert at the after party always.
But there's also,
we've grown with the topics as well. So we started off covering investment mortgages, renovations, and hospitality properties. But now we've also got loans. We've also got multi-family properties. We've got luxury properties. We've had presentations on immigration, on tax, on setting up your business, incorporating in Japan. So we've really winded the network of topics that we cover, which is another reason why people don't have a chance to be social during the day because they keep asking questions, right?
Correct.
If you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Mokomoko. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local sites provide. I've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the Mokomoko Pro annual plan that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide. If you're serious about buying in Japan and want an easier way to search, this is a solid tool. Use my code ZIV, Z-I-V, at checkout, or click in the link in the show notes and get 30% off the MokoMoko Pro annual plan. And now, back to the podcast.
And I'm going to be doing a deep dive into AI because that's AI, how to use AI in your marketing. Like the last session I did was all about compliance, but now I really want to go into ops, operations and marketing, and how you can really, you know, save a lot of money, save a lot of headcount, and also save your sanity by using some of these great tools that are out there. And I a lot of people are frightened of it. I've got some things that are like the agents that I've built, I'm happy to share them, and I'm giving them away. To if you come to my breakout, there'll be some AI. I'll do some live audits using an agent that I built, which is kind of fun. And then you can see how your particular unit is, or your particular listing is performing, and what suggested things you can do to improve it. So.
And just
can your agents also take a property that's currently not used as a hospitality property and run some predictions on how it'll do?
No, but I can build one. Mm-hmm. I can build one for that, like, because I use a lot of market research tools. So I use a lot of Price Labs, and I get in, I look at what the data is saying, and then I go in with I can teach the agent my brain and what I would do. So a lot of people come to me I'm getting a lot of people coming to me and going, well, you know, could my property be doing better? And I help a lot of people that way. But the other thing I get a lot of is like, is my property manager performing? And I can tell that just by looking at the listing, and I can then give them a report for a modest fee of like how they should be working better with their property manager. And if their property manager isn't up to what is industry standards or best practices, I've picked up a couple of new clients based on that. There's some pretty shonky property managers out there. It's quite grim. Mm. Quite grim. Mm.
I just want to add, so everyone now talks about AI agents and do AI, use AI. One, it's not easy to implement. Nope. And just want to shout out to Tracy. Your background is software engineering.
Yes.
So you're not just some newbie who's like, I just played with ChatGPT and I can tell it, please make me something.
You're actually targeted, and you'll stop that.
Usually, you know how to actually utilize a tool super efficiently and just 10x your software engineering skill to build this up.
But it also is like the discernment of what is being put out there. I mean, a lot of people just think, I'll just get ChatGPT to write my listing for you. And then it's just really generic. And again, what I'm all about is that the generic listings are just that you need to have a brand and you need to have a point of view and you need to really, you know, have a unique list. Sorry, I'm jumping into my on my soapbox again about how I think how the good Minpaku properties are performing in this saturated market. Because since we started this, 2021 when we all started this, got together, because we're all shut for the pandemic, right? So many hosts went away, like so many people got out of the business. And so then when it opened up again, it was just like happy days. But then the number of licenses that have been issued and since then has tripled. It's that so many more players have entered the market. So you've just got to be better. You've got and the AI tools that are there will help you be better and to help you generic.
You're not kidding about a saturated market. I went to I usually stay at a hotel if I just come in for the week. This time I'm staying for 3 weeks because I've got meetings and other stuff to attend to in Tokyo as well. I got me I can't remember where, it's a bit out of central Tokyo, but nice two-bedroom apartment for 3 weeks was like 80,000 yen. I didn't think that was even an option for short-term stays in Tokyo.
Yeah, no, well, the prices have really, the ADRs, so the average daily rate across the board have really dropped. That's because competition has come in. That's the, you know, even you talk to someone like another pro like Anton or other people, they're all saying, like, it's been the worst summer since, for 5 years. I'm still booked. ADRs have dropped, like nightly rates have dropped because you've just got to compete. But that pricing is not your only lever. But a lot of but if you don't have those other tools in your toolbox, then if the only thing you've got is price, then it's just a straight race to the bottom. And
I just interviewed somebody who does, we'll have it on the podcast soon, and I'm trying to see if he'll come and have at least a booth to sell his book at the event. But somebody who wrote a book about hospitality in the rural areas of
oh,
Japan.
great. Yes.
And he says he wouldn't touch Tokyo with a 10-foot pole. He says the competition is insane. I go out to Yamanashi, I got a view of Mount Fuji, everybody comes and books the property easy.
Yes, that's very true.
I
Well,
got
what are you going to
32.
talk
I got
about in there?
32. I'm not worried. I got 32 here in Tokyo. And
That's
I'm adding
what
more.
we aim to have there. We're talking about poor property management. You touched on that a second ago. We've been having lots of inquiries now about, like the property. So we generally work on the buyer side. Well, people buy. Recently, getting a lot of inquiries from foreigners that are like, "Hey, I've got a place. I want to sell it. Can you help me sell?" Or I've had someone, an agent listed, and they're just not getting any views or anything. So we're starting to, although that's not a big push, we're starting to do that for clients now. It's strange the amount of inquiries that we've been getting about that. So just today, just arrived in the mail. This is my 360 camera. So we're doing, this is a 360. Hold on, I'm just unboxing it now.
Oh,
Just arrived this
snap
morning.
that up a video, an
Ooh,
unboxing video.
unboxing
Oh, hang
videos.
on, got to do some ASMR in there too, so we can get
I
the
think
shh.
I got audio, voice on, like noise cancellation on this. There we go. This is a nice 360. It's like 100,000 yen.
Wow,
Didn't you have one of those last time, or was on a gimbal, or what were you?
we have, oh no, this is a 360. So this is for the virtual house tour. You put it in the middle of the room and you take the photo, and it takes a full 360 camera, 360 view. So when you see a listing online, you can enter the room and virtually walk through the room and pan around and
Okay.
see all 360 in the room. Look up, look down, see all the corners.
Very nice.
I'm
The room.
using I've got a really neat little AI tool that I don't actually take video walkthroughs anymore. I just take all the so my photographer takes photos from every angle and then stitches them together as a walkthrough. So I'm gonna like maybe borrow your 360 camera from you one day.
Yeah, so this is
For a
basically
fee.
takes the whole room, and
Yeah.
per like the whole thing takes like less than 15, 20 minutes. And the apps behind it just like you link the rooms and it just does it, and
I'm
it's a
so
big
jealous
and it
because
makes
you
your
guys
floor
have
does it
got
make your
these
floor plan?
beautiful. Sorry, go ahead, Trace.
I was gonna say, does it make your floor plan as well, like a Cuba Casa floor plan?
I believe it has an option for it, but most of the properties that we deal with, we actually already have the floor plan. Very like we have the floor plan, right? Like the mansions and houses in Tokyo, we have the floor plan. So rather than rebuilding it, we actually just say this photo is the middle of this room, and then this photo is the middle of that room. So the floor plan, you don't need to rebuild it; it's already there. I believe there is an option with some of the different subscriptions that it builds it out. And there are some cameras. The Matterport is a very famous brand.
Yes.
That's a big camera about this large. It's got a LiDAR sensor on it, and you put it in the room and it spins and actually does a full measurement of the entire room. They're called digital twins. I don't know if you've heard that term. And so have you heard that? Yeah, so it's called digital twin. So it's basically you can see inside the room, but it's all the measurements for the windows, everything is there, and it's down to like the half millimeter because it's done with a LiDAR sensor. So what they're using it now in Australia, a girl I met has a startup there that they, because in Australia when you do sort of renovations, to get a tradie to come and quote it is really difficult. And what you can do now is because it's a digital twin, they can see online the full exact replica of the house, like all the photos and 360 images, and all the exact measurements are there.
Will that do a zoom in as well? Will that equate? Because I'm struggling to get some of the older places that I deal with when I'm putting in my license applications. You need to put in a zoom in for the Ryokan license, and so if the house is really, really old, the zoom in just doesn't like. It's just no one has it, and it's not on file. So I'm having to pay an architect to come in and like do that zoom in. Will that be acceptable?
I think these 360 ones, yeah, they do a floor plan. But actually, even on your phone, if you get your smartphone, the LiDAR built in the back here, that little black thing that looks like it does nothing in the back, and because it's under the light, the little black thing, that's LiDAR. That does, so you can go around your room and just scan everything, and it will build it with a full LiDAR, like proper measurements across everything. And there are some free apps, or the app subscriptions are very reasonable to do that. When I was looking for some Akiya by my beach house, I was doing that to get sort of very precise measurements. But yes, it does zoom in. There are options and plans that will do the floor plan.
Because that would save me a
And what are
ton
you
of
going to talk
money.
about, Emil? Tech
So what
tools?
else? Sorry.
You're going to talk about tech tools?
Oh, I have not come up with a presentation. You know what? No, because notice I haven't found the way I'm going to sort of present it. But it's, look, I still talk about my bread and butter, which is buying a family home in Tokyo. There'll be different. Sometimes I've done case studies. Sometimes I've done very specific sort of, what, like, the ins and outs.
Updates on the loans is very important for
Yeah,
people too.
like you being the walking loan calculator, I think that
The
is such
finance, yeah.
value. That's such value to people. Like, how much can I borrow? You know, giving people permission to go like that. That to me, you could just do that all day, every day, and it's just so valuable.
I do that on Zoom calls, on my consultation Zooms. Yeah, so usually I'll do two sessions, one in the main room and one in the breakout room, and I separate it now. So one is about buying the house and the ins and outs of the property. The other one is about the financing side of things.
Yen Loans are a sponsor of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. They're a non-bank lender offering financing to both residents and non-residents of Japan for purchases of condominiums, as well as equity release cash-out financing against properties that you already own in Japan, whether mortgaged or fully paid off. They cover all of Japan's major metro areas, Greater Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto, Kobe, Nagoya, Fukuoka, and Sapporo, offering a full nationwide footprint for all of your condo purchase financing needs. No residency, incorporation, or Japanese bank account is required, and the application process is highly streamlined. They have legitimate backers, highly reputable, and I can personally vouch for their founder, Mark Drapkin. Yen Loans welcome your business. Reach out to them at yenloans.com and let them know that you heard about them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast to receive 50,000 yen off your loan application fee.
And now interest rates are going up. I just got an email from our guy at Mizuho, sorry, at MUFJ Bank yesterday, so which is the first, announcing the new rates. So their cheapest rate now is 1.125% variable rates. So it went up
That's a whole point.
yeah, went up 0.25%.
Oh,
Whereas,
0.25.
yeah, 0.5. So about a year ago, like, so it was nine. I think it was 0.9.
Our US and Australia listeners are like, you said they went up to 1.25.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's. I'm starting to feel the pinch though. Like, I'm not financially, but just when I look at the numbers and look at what the repayments are like.
Yeah.
Wow, it was much better at 0.4.
Oh, shut up. I'm at 4.7, so shut up.
Always up
I've gone
to
from 3 point something now up. I'm now
This is
my
here in
now
Japan, Tracy.
years. I'm self-employed, right? I'm self-employed. I'm like I have PR
Wow.
and also it is our place of business. So it's our office and it's we've got a hotel on it and yeah, so even though it's a business owner Jutaku loan. Yeah, but it's for business owners who are. I mean, I
So
don't like if I
we've got
work.
a purely investment property that's cheaper on the interest rate. Do you think there might be a gauging factor there?
It's well, there's a lot of things, and Emil and I have tried to work on it a little bit, but a lot of it is again because I'm a business owner and the mortgage is such a beast. Like the debt to borrow, like the debt to earnings ratio that I've got to play with as a business owner who minimizes my taxes as
Put
much as
money back into the business.
possible
Yeah, that's what we
because
do.
I'm putting everything back into the business. For a bank to look at us as a mortgage is very, very tricky. So I'm in a weird position. I'm just grateful to have a like a I mean my house cash flows, right? So I house hack, I've got the hotel built inside the house that pretty much covers a lot of the mortgage. And so my actual repayment out of my pocket is probably pretty similar to what, an average salaried worker would get. So I trade it off that way. But the other thing is I built in 2018.
Yeah.
And so like if I sold it now, I'm doubling, honestly, I'm doubling my money
Oh,
now.
where
So
you are? Yeah.
yeah,
So,
from where I am. So I'm actually not I'm not that stressed about it as much as I would love to pay 1% rather than four point whatever percent I'm paying now. It is what it is. So there's nothing much I can do for at the moment.
Tracy, I think I come to you more frequently saying, let's try to refinance your loan. I think over the past few years, I've been coming to you trying to work on your loan more than
Yeah, but I
yeah.
every which way I've looked at it, it's just because the amount I've got left to
Yeah.
pay
Oh,
based on what my salary on paper actually is, it, that
yeah.
no banks will look at me. So
I just want to say to people listening, like, so there is no, like, I see this posted a lot. When, because we, whenever we post something about interest rates or any of our shorts about interest rates or home loans, people like the haters will come on and say, but yeah, not because you're, if you're a gaijin, you're going to get stung with this. Oh no, you need PR, and they're not giving PR to anyone. There's a lot of political or just snarky comments that are so negative about it when you hear about loans and rates, because maybe they've been burned or they just want to be smart asses about it.
I
Or
think the
one of
latter. I think there's a lot of just haters out there. A lot of...
they, and a lot
You're
of
muted,
what they say,
Blanca.
they
You're
do.
muted. You're muted.
You're muted,
Yeah.
honey.
I don't think that people are negative. People just don't know, and they've heard this somewhere. And that's the power of, if I've heard it on social media, it's true. They've heard it somewhere that you need PR and you need this, you need that. And they just tell that to everybody as an information. That's why, like, you need to be singing the truth all the time, because
Well,
that's the only way people will realize that they don't need all this. It's not even because they're negative, it's just because simply they've heard it somewhere and they keep repeating it.
I'll read you the
A
comments.
lot of
They're
it's an
fantastic.
excuse, though. I don't you think it's like it's scary, it's frightening. So it's easier to say, oh, that's not available to me, so I'm not even going to try. I think there's a lot of that in there. It's like, so if you fail, you're like, even if you try and fail, you're not going to look bad. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Well,
psychology is a beast.
you're right. Everyone, look, the comments that people say about, oh, if you're a foreigner, you get stung with extra interest or you need permanent residency. There is an underlying truth behind it. It comes from nonfiction, a fact. But you have five banks. If three of them say you must have PR, then you to say that, oh, you need PR, yeah, it's true, but there are options where that's not the case. Or if they say, oh, because you're a foreigner, you're gonna get the higher interest rate. Yes, there are some banks that
No.
say if you don't have residency, if you're a foreigner, then you don't get the same rate discount. You pay a little bit more. There is some truth to where they're coming from, but they don't realize that they're looking at one option, which is the negative one,
Yeah, you
not
have
the
options is
option,
the
which is,
point. Yeah.
hold on, these ones don't care, and you're able to do that. So actually, just one of our deals that closed end of July. So it was July 31st, just before I went on my summer trip.
Emil, hang
He,
on. Can I pause you for a second? Because Blanca needs to go in 3 minutes, and I want her to tell
oh, sure.
people what she's going to be talking about before she takes off.
Well, basically, I'm just going to talk about the struggles with renovating, and kind of what to expect when you buy an older property. I'm going to be focusing on older properties,
So all
and
the
then
properties,
for the
okay.
break, yeah, and for the. For the breakout rooms, I'm just going to bring a bunch of materials, and I would actually like people to bring their projects if possible. If like they want to discuss what they would want to use or not to use, bring the plans or pictures or whatever, and we would kind of speak more on point why I would use this and not that, and they can look at a bunch of like few catalogs, but I'm not going to bring too many. I'm just going to, you know, just kind of the general, but more talking matter of fact, what materials, when, and how.
So no touchy-feely catalogs with like little wallpaper samples and stuff. I love it when you do that.
Listen, the thing is like, yeah, the wallpaper catalogs are easy, but I mean, like, I have like hundreds of like there's so many catalogs when it comes to, you know, different floorings, this and that. And then last time, like when I was carrying all that material, I had like so many, I had to had a Daisha to wheel it all in. And that's kind of like, you know, I would take up the whole forum with the materials. So yes, of course, like I'll bring some of the wallpaper and stuff, but just the basic materials, and then basically just talk with people about their projects and what they would like to do and what I would recommend instead. So that's
fantastic.
Here's your plan. Now let's throw that away, and here's what you should really do.
Yes.
I'll get to run because I have to. Yeah.
I'm actually at the construction site, so I have to attend to the site already.
Thanks, Blanca. See you soon.
Bye, guys. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.
Sorry, Emil, go ahead. So you were talking about options.
Oh, yeah. So one guy, that's right. July 31st, he did a settlement. He's only been in Japan, I think, for 2 years now. Was it 2 years, 3 years? Doesn't have permanent residency and got 100% financing on a brand new house that was, I believe, like 70 million yen. Yeah. And the interest is like in the mid to high ones, like 1.7%. So yes, and he's an Aussie guy.
Was it because he worked for a big famous company, or what do you think was the check marks in his favor?
Yeah, he just he's a salaried employee, speaks reasonable Japanese, and has, you know, reasonable income, nothing too crazy, but has income that can cover the mortgage without a problem. So there are banks that are offering solutions. Not all of them. A lot of them will be strict. And he doesn't have a Japanese wife, single.
How would the banks evaluate? So I know being a business owner is tougher, but a business owner whose income fluctuates, like, for example, in my case, last year was, you know, spanking hot, awesome. This year, the income is the same, but I'm investing money in a new business. So I'm racking up more expenses, so taxable income goes down.
Yeah.
How do they evaluate that?
Yeah, good. That's a really good question. And you get that a lot. People are concerned about their business. So I focus on home loans, people that want to go a home for themselves. So that's different to a business loan. So how generally when you are a business operator, there's two types. One is Kojin Jigyo, which is a sole proprietor. And one is a business owner. So you actually have a Kabushiki Gaisha, you have an entity. Or a Goto Gaisha, yeah. A legal entity. And you get paid a salary from that. And so I'm just, so people know, I'm a certified Japanese home loan advisor. So I originate a lot of home loans. So I do this all the time. When it's for a personal home, they look at your income. So if you are a sole proprietor, then on your tax return, it has business revenue, business expenses, and then the net profit, right? And let's say you're making, you know, 20 million yen. So nisenman yen of revenue, gross revenue, but you have, you know, 15 million yen of expenses, then your net is 5 million yen. And that's what they look at if you're in that, if you're a sole proprietor, of your income is 5 million. Even if you say sometimes, like just say 1 year, you made 10 million yen net, but the next year you put a lot into the business, so it's only 5 million. Well, essentially the business has its expenses. So although you're funding money back in, that's no longer usable for you. So they're going to assess you on just what your net is. They don't really care what those expenses were for, because they are, as far as they're concerned, official business expenses. Now, it's slightly different if you run if you're an employee, the representative director of your legal entity, your Kabushiki Gaisha, your Godo Gaisha, and how they look at that is, how much do you pay yourself as a salary? Is it 5 million yen? Is it 8 million yen? 10 million yen? That's your salary. And so they'll base it on your actual salary. And then the assessment that they do for the company is it in the red or in the black?
Right.
Right? Is the business profitable? And not how profitable is it, as long as you're generally in the black, not
Paying
operating in the.
corporate taxes.
Yeah,
Wait,
and
can I
yeah.
complicate things further?
You can.
Yeah. So I'm a sole trader making a salary from two companies that I'm 50% owner in, and also have my sole trader consulting income.
Yeah, so how that looks like if you look at the Japanese tax return, it's actually quite clear the different sections. So the top line is business revenue from your sole proprietor, right? So let's say you have your let's say Airbnb on the side. You've got like three Airbnb or four Airbnb properties. Then they're personal, they're not part of the business. They're personal and you have income and expenses related to that. So your net, so that on your net income section says, okay, you make 2 million yen per year from your Airbnb properties. And then from your two companies that you own, you pay yourself a salary of 4 million yen and 3 million yen. So they look at the salary of 4 million and 3 million, that's seven. And then the net income of your business, of
Okay, so
your.
they added all of that. That was my question. So they
Yeah.
added all up minus the expenses of the sole proprietorship.
They will, yes,
Okay.
right? However, one thing to keep in mind is they will say, which one's your full-time job? Like, are these, if they are really big,
They're all
proper,
my full-time jobs.
yeah, like if one just a hobby and they'll look at the past 2 or 3 years of all the businesses and say, what are they actually doing? Right? And like, so probably the clearer example I get is someone who's just a salaried employee at a company. They're not the business owner. And they have some private business as well, so provided like a consulting gig. So then it's easy to add both. Sometimes when you say structure like how you do it, if the private the sole proprietor income is really like, because when you're doing that, you're trying to keep those things low, right? You have lots of expenses. So if that's only coming through at like, 500,000 yen or 1 or even 2 million yen a year. And they may say, look, that doesn't look like a real standalone business. It's just a side hobby or project. It's not your main source. Your main is like the businesses. So it's actually also a case by case. I'll kind of assess what is this income? How much is it? Right? And is it, and what is the nature of the business? And sometimes they'll say, if it's the same as your entity, the legal entity, why are you funneling it separately? Why is it included in that? So if I've got a Minpaku Airbnb, sorry, a short-term stay business proper entity, and then I've got also two other Airbnb related or short-term stay related properties on the side, say, hold on, this should all be together. So sometimes it complicates the matter, but if you're just like a entrepreneur, you've got like two different entities that are giving you 8 million and 8 million each, and you're making money. Then they'll just add that. That's straightforward. But a lot of times when people are structuring and have that many, they're not all bringing in a lot of cash. They're like some of a bit low. And you can't say, I got 1.5 million from this and 4 million from that. They're going to say, no, it's all just small. It's maybe a bit too small. So it is when you get to like that sort of situation, it is a bit more of a case by case basis and assessment. And different banks look at it differently as well. Some are favorable for that, some are not very. And how much cash you want to contribute, what's the size of the overall deal? Is it a 4 million property or 200 million property?
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, offering a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for sightseeing and visiting, remote work, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens, and they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which, if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know are tiny and noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in one of those. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed short-term stay operator. And as a special bonuses for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, got a property that you want to tweak for higher profit or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it, drop them a line today and see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listing without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home or in and around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
Yeah. And also a big one, when people come to me with that, and then the property they want is one that's located next door to Tokyo Skytree, but it's a 6-bedroom house, and pure, I guarantee it's for me, my personal use. Even though I have 5 Airbnb properties, I promise this one is not for Airbnb. But not for Minpaku. They're like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Right? So there's, and usually the people, to be honest, I get it all the time, the people with that kind of hustle mentality in order to have so many entities and so many sources of income are trying to, on the side, buy it more investment side than really for personal residence. So there's a lot of stuff in the picture that need to be considered. So there's no one right answer. It's a case by case.
It's an interesting conversation. I just had it with my my new business partner, the one that I'm opening the e-commerce business with. Because in my mind, I'm not a big fan of loans normally. So in my mind, expenses, business, minimize my taxes. Yatta, this is like what I do every year to pay as little tax as possible. And it's legit. And she's like, oh, no, I can't claim any expenses because all of my other businesses are based on loans. And if I lower my expenses and my taxable income, I'm not going to get any more loans. So it's a very different approach, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of strategy. That's why even, you know, and it's very similar to both the initial property, the initial loan application, and also like in Tracy's case, refinancing. So the situation when you want to refinance, it's kind of, you know, I said earlier, I was speaking to Tracy about, we should try to refinance your loan. You basically go to another bank. The same bank generally doesn't want to refinance you. Like, we've got you here. If you want to refinance, you go to a different institution.
They don't even want to take a meeting. They don't even want to see, like, I've tried to have a chat with them, and it's just like,
it's weird. So what, they'd rather lose the business?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, are the banks, but aren't they making most of their money on the setup and at the start, they're using that like the future?
I didn't think about that.
They're using the future earnings then to do something else with it, and so they've already got the benefit. Like after the first couple of years, you having a loan, like that, correct. Like they don't need you anymore, right? Because they're off doing other things. So the benefit is more and more and more on their books. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why with the refinance, so let's say, you know, Trace case is a good example. We go to a different bank and say, this is the existing loan. And generally, let's say your initial loan was 100 million yen. And a few years later, you've got 70 million yen of loan balance remaining.
Mm-hmm.
The next bank, you go to them and you say, I want to refinance. And they say, okay, we'll refinance you up to this, just the remaining balance, 70 million yen. We will pay off your old bank and you can work with us now. So that's how much they give you. Usually the remaining balance plus costs. Like the Scrivener fee and the title, the mortgage lien update fee. That's maybe a few hundred thousand yen in total. That's all they'll give you. You can't get equity out for the most part.
Right.
You can't say, it's worth 120 now, give me another 20 or 30 million yen. So refinancing in Japan is not to try to get equity out. It's only to try to get a better deal on the interest rate and the mortgage product.
Yen loans will do that for you, but the interest rate is much higher.
Yeah, and I know one guy I've referred to them that, you know, he's trying to get, he's got a property in Yogi actually, and he's trying to get like another 50 or 80 million yen out of his, like, buy it, pay off his old one and get equity, an equity release. But usually for Japanese home loans, when we talk about refinancing, that's what you do. So the bank will look at your income statements as a new assessment. And again, you know, Tracy's case mentioned before, you're a business owner, you have different businesses, different sources of income, and they will assess, well, can you borrow that 50 million or 70 million, however much you want to refinance? And in the case of a business owner, as you guys have mentioned, we try to, like, you know, we balance how much we want to invest in the business and how much we pay ourselves, because we also want to keep our income tax. There's also tax management strategies. Now that can shoot out, you know, you can sort of shoot yourself in the foot with that, because now you're not eligible for the higher amount of financing. Because if you're only paying yourself 2 million yen per year, even though the bank is making 30 million, the business is making 30 million, you're giving yourself 2 million. So fine, the business is making money, you're only making 2 mil. We can't loan you 70. Your income needs to be.
You could potentially get a business loan, an investment loan for the business under those circumstances, right?
Yeah, but the investment loan is not for a home loan, right?
Yeah, and the rates are way different. Yeah.
They're way different, but also when you get a business loan, they say, what is this? What is the business purpose of this loan? Are you buying a vehicle? Are you buying an office? No, I'm buying my personal residence. No, that's not the purpose of it.
No, not for personal residence. Yeah.
Yeah. So the interest rate is different. And then you're buying the property away from you. The business now has it. So now you no longer have a house. It's a business asset. And if you have partners, that's a completely different approach. And a business loan to get, you know, when we're talking about houses in Tokyo, it's closer to 100 million yen or above, right? It's not a 5 million yen or 10 million yen or 20 million yen business loan. It's more substantial than that. But yeah, even with a refinance, they'll assess you at your current situation. And that's why I tell, you know, almost every talk that I've done up on the stage and the presentation is, if you're a self-employed or a business owner, you need like a 2 or 3 year plan about how you're going to pay yourself. Because the bank will say, what's your salary now? Oh, you pay yourself 10 million yen a year of salary and the business makes money. Great. Show us the past 2 or 3 years of business reports and tax returns. Hold on. You just put your salary up last fiscal year. Is that only to make to get the mortgage?
Yeah, they're not stupid.
Yeah. So they're not comfortable with that as business security.
Yeah.
So make a proper assessment on you and look at the numbers and ask you the relevant questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyhow, sorry.
Well, So this, folks, this is what you'll be getting when Emil steps on stage. Prepare yourselves with the questions in advance if they're complicated, and they usually are. And to wrap it up, I'll be talking about exit strategies, I think, this time around. So if you're buying an investment property or a holiday home or a hospitality property, buy it with the resale in mind, whether it's a planned resale down the track or a resale that you'll be forced into for whatever reason, because life happens. Just consider these things and know how to think about them when you're buying a property. It might tick all the boxes, but then you might be stuck a little bit when it's time to offload it for whatever reason. So that's going to be the topic of my presentation, and the breakout room yet to be determined. We also have potentially a couple more speakers that are yet to be announced. We'll figure it out soon, but won't give any spoilers just yet, especially because I'm not really sure if they'll be there yet, but hopefully they will be with us. Yeah.
Okay,
but by the time this goes out, the ticketing page will be live.
Summit.realestate.jp is the.
Yep. I was going to say in the show notes.
Yeah, so like, yeah, we'll pick that one. Summit.realestate.jp will take you to the ticketing page or the Summit homepage. We're still playing around with.
But that will be where you can get your tickets, right? So they're still discounted early bird rates, discounted, which is heavily discounted. I think about 20 to 30%, depending on the ticket, until the end of September. So we're now at the beginning of September. When this airs, it'll probably be close to mid-September. Pre-register or just buy the discounted early bird ticket if the ticketing page is up now. And the travel arrangements as well. If you're coming into town, whether it's from elsewhere in Japan or from overseas, as a lot of our attendees do, you might want to lock in your hotel and flights as soon as you can, because they do get expensive as we get closer to the day.
I've got a little bit of vacancy in Tokyo Family Studies.
Oh, yes.
If you're going to get down.
Oh, is it tokyofamilystays.com?
TokyoFamilyStays.com. Yep, exactly right.
Yeah. And realestate.jp. Sorry, I'm not sure if where you're showing in the gallery
I'm now
over
coming
there.
back.
You
And
can
yeah, I
look.
don't have it in the back here, but nippontradings.com is where you can find us, as well as early bird registration for the summit and the beautiful, I think on summit.realestate.jp as well, we've got the galleries and the video presentations and everything that we had from the last summit, right?
We have links to it, yes.
Yep.
Although we're changing the site now for the new one, so it's going to redirect. But yes, the information will be somewhere if you go there. That's all the
And
information on it.
there's so much in the back catalogue. So and what
Yeah.
so even if you've been to the summit before or you've been streaming before, you will not have this. It's not the same content over and over again because things
No.
change, market change. Also, it's boring to do the same speech over and over. So we all do something fresh every time.
I do
Even if
want to.
somebody has the same topic, everything changes every year, right? So same topic, but the details are completely different.
And a big one that we found, so we've changed the ticketing this year slightly. We've added a
Oh,
category,
yes, we should mention
which is
that.
industry participants. So what's been happening over the course of this is a lot of real estate industry participants are coming, and these are other agents, other people in the Minpaku management business or renovation or investment business. So if you're, and so they come actually more for business networking. It's educational and it's for business networking. They are not really just a client side buyer. So we have created a new ticketing for that, which is the industry participant ticketing. So you'll notice there's a uplift on top of regular prices. So if you are, a let's say a Minpaku management type of business or another real estate agent or an investment business, if your business is in the real estate space,
In
then
Japan, if you've got a real estate asset investment management firm overseas, that's okay. You're an industry, you're not an industry participant.
Okay, yeah, but if you're, if you are there to network with other industry professionals, then you are considered an industry participant. So please purchase the industry participant ticket. Do not purchase the non-industry because, and also we'll know when we talk to you, what do you
Yeah,
do?
we know
Or
who you are, guys.
yeah, you want a short-term, yeah, stay platform, you're an industry participant. So that's, yeah, we, because, and we do this because we want to be able to keep the cost down of the event for the clients participants, right? We want to provide more value, get better people in, and improve the networking opportunities. So the more budget we have for this, the better we can make the entire venue. Even now, the venue is bigger. We have a larger space for networking. So hence the ticket price adjustments. And it's a business expense. You can write it off. So
Absolutely.
we go.
All right. Thank you for your time and like and subscribe as usual, but more importantly, get your tickets for the summit now or at least register for them because it's happening in about a month and a half and they do tend to run out as we get closer to the day. And yeah, other arrangements do get more expensive as well. Thank you all and see you very, very soon.
See you later,
Bye-bye.
guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. So there you have it. Super informative session, I thought. Hope you enjoyed it. And I hope even more to see you at the summit coming your way 17th and 18th October, Saturday and Sunday at the Tokyo International Forum and online. Our sponsors and speakers, realestate.jp, us here at NTI, Arc Reform, Tokyo Family Stays, MailMate, Chiki Properties, Innovatius.com, and Assist, Ninka.ai, Tatemono IQ, Naomi Kai and Hayato Goto, co-authors of the Rural Japan Hospitality Blueprint, who will also be at the event, and Simple Host. We're all thrilled and waiting to see you. Head over to summit.realestate.jp and secure those discounted tickets right now. Now, we can't let you go without telling you about MailMate, our sponsors and business partners. They offer peace of mind for your property in Japan. They'll make sure that your taxes, your utility bills are all paid on time, liaise with your management company for you, or assist with your parcel delivery while you're out of town. Get in touch with them on mailmate.jp today and mention the Japan Real Estate Podcast for 10% off your first year.
And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening. And we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.